Welcome back. Another edition of the Wobcast coming at you right now. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, coming to you from Vikings Entertainment Network Studios at Winter Park. I have producer Nate Vaughn by my side, and we have a jam-packed show coming up for you. We're going to welcome in two of our writers right here at Vikings.com and the Vikings Entertainment Network, Lindsey Young and Eric Smith. They're going to break down the Vikings draft class when it comes to the defensive players who were selected. We're also going to give you a few one-liners on some of the undrafted players. That will be coming up later in the show with Eric Smith and Lindsey Young. We're also going to get into some draft grades from a couple of our friends at the NFL Network. But let's start off with some NFL and Vikings news and notes. Super Bowl 52 is the Super Bowl that will be hosted by Minnesota, and a date has been set, February 4th, 2018. Nate, save the date.
Got it marked on my calendar.
Okay, good. Hopefully our attendance is required.
Yeah, I mean, that would be an okay thing.
If the Vikings are playing in the game, our attendance will be required. If they are not playing in the game, I'm still going to try and wiggle my way into the stadium that night. Maybe I can run copies at the copy machine or something like that.
Yeah, or be a towel boy.
Or right. Anything.
Yeah,
whatever
turf guy.
I've never been to a Super Bowl.
Although they just laid the turf last week. So right. So maybe by that time it'll be roughed up a little bit. They'll need to, you know, redo it
smooth
a little bit.
Smooth it over, put more rubber pellets in it.
You could be the rubber pellet guy.
The rubber pellet guy, yeah. Yep. The last Super Bowl in Minnesota was January 26th, 1992. Super Bowl 52 will be in February 4th. So the NFL's timeline has shifted a little bit. Super Bowls are now later than they used to be. But that Super Bowl in 1992 in Minnesota featured the Washington Redskins defeating the Buffalo Bills 37-24. The MVP of the game was quarterback Mark Rippon, broadcast by CBS, featuring my favorite play-by-play color commentator duo of all time, Pat Summerall and John Madden, who at the time were working for CBS. Later they would work for Fox, and John Madden would later do Monday Night Football on ESPN. But Pat Summerall and John Madden, that's about as good as it gets in my lifetime. So that was the last Super Bowl that Minnesota hosted. The next one will be Super Bowl 52, which is not this upcoming Super Bowl. Obviously, that will be in Houston, but it's the one after that, Super Bowl 52. The date is set February 4th, 2018, at U.S. Bank Stadium, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Next item, the NFL, in what I would consider good news, but also no-brainer news, the NFL is allowing the use of the umlaut on Moritz Boehringer's nameplate on his jersey.
Is it umlaut or umlaut? Do you know?
What did I say?
Umlaut.
What is it?
I think it's pronounced umlaut.
No T. 3-2. In what I would describe as no-brainer news, but still good news, Nate, the NFL is allowing the use of the umlaut on Moritz Boehringer's nameplate on his jersey, which is the two dots above the O rather than typing O-E.
Right? Yeah, rather than us misspelling
right
the way he spells his name.
So this whole time it's been Boehringer, which is I guess right, but not the preferred way to do it. You want to do the umlaut, which is, I think it looks like a surprise face emoticon.
Yeah.
The two dots are the eyes, and then the O is like an open mouth, like you're surprised.
Although the umlaut probably preceded the emoticons.
You
probably
think?
Not by much, but
I think
initially some people were excited about it being the very first umlaut on an NFL jersey. I don't think that's actually the case. I think there was like a center for the Rams like 20 some years ago.
Man.
But we're just going to pretend like he didn't. That doesn't matter.
And well, maybe it's not technically the first, but it's the first for all intents and purposes. And it certainly will be the only, I would imagine. I don't think there are any other German players coming down the pipeline before the season starts. So that's pretty cool. Where will Mo's jersey rank in rookie jersey sales this year, Nate?
I don't know. It's an interesting question. I mean, it seems like every draft there's like a star.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily like a first round pick, but that people are excited to buy their jersey of.
Definitely. And so we'll see where Moritz's jersey ranks in time. But for now, the good news is when you go to Vikings.com, locker room store, to buy your Moritz Boehringer jersey, it will have an umlaut on it.
You don't need the whiteout to put the two dots on the top.
Nope, like, that's right.
You can buy it officially officially stitched.
Pretty cool. There. Pretty cool. All right. Next is we're going to go to an interesting question that was posed on NFL Network, and it was debated between Willie McGinnis, former Patriot, great, and Brian Baldinger, who also played in the league and is now an analyst and has done games on television, but now works for NFL Network. Those two guys debated which would happen first, the Vikings play in the Super Bowl this year, or Adrian plays until he's 40.
Adrian Peterson, the best running back in football. I like it too. Said a couple of interesting things recently. Said, I think we have a good chance to win it all. Mm. And said, I'm not only going to play until I'm 40, I'm going to be performing at a high level when I'm 40. So let's start with Willie.
Okay.
More likely, Vikings win the Super Bowl this year, or AD plays until he's 40 and productive at 40.
Yeah, that's tough. It's tough. You look at the numbers as far as a running back playing that long to 40 and being as productive, but if anybody could do it, when you look at what Adrian Peterson has been doing over the course of his career and coming back off the injury and how he's been playing and being consistent, I would say he has a good chance. As far as the Super Bowl, couple games away from getting there, I don't think this team is there quite yet. Right there, I think they're right on the cusp of it. And I think they got a great defense. I think the offense is building and getting better. I think a little more from the quarterback position and what they're trying to build around them could take them to the next step. I will have to see. I don't think they're quite there yet, but that is what AD is supposed to say, that we are, and I like our chances better than anybody.
So more likely they go to the Super Bowl, Willie, is what you're saying. That's what you're saying.
Well, I don't.
I can't underestimate no man in the game. You know.
Look, I think, you know, when they went to Green Bay last year in Week 17, they beat the Packers to win the division. That was a statement win, to go into Aaron Rodgers, you know, territory and win like they did. And so I think they're on the right track. They have the fifth best defense in football. They're giving up the fifth fewest amount of points. Mm-hmm. Mike Zimmer can coach and coach hard. And he's got a lot of young talent that they've assembled. And you can see, like, they're building something there in Minnesota defensively. To your point, Willie, they're the 31st ranked offense, passing offense in football. They've got to be able to open it up more. And really, if Adrian Peterson has the year like he wants to have, when you can run the ball like that, you should be able to make that run game pay off better than they do. And maybe Laquon Treadwell and Stephon Diggs in the second year. Maybe Teddy takes that step this year where, you know, they have those big chunk plays off play action with Adrian Peterson that have been missing.
And you would think if they can throw for more than 182 yards per game, which is what Teddy Bridgewater did last year, it would only help Adrian Peterson.
They're developing longevity. Teddy Bridgewater and just adding pieces. So I think they start to open it up a little bit more now that he's comfortable and now that they know what they have in him and Norv. You got to understand what they're going to do there. I think they're slowly building this offense.
Good read on Monday morning quarterback about Adrian Peterson. High hopes there in Minnesota.
Well, to summarize, the good news is Willie McGinnis and Brian Baldinger both think the Vikings are on the cusp. A little bit more from the passing offense and Teddy, and they think the Vikings are right in the mix. The bad news is they're a little bearish on Adrian playing until he's 40. Haven't these people learned you never bet against Adrian Peterson ever?
Yeah, I think the one guy who can decide whether he can play till he's 40 is Adrian. Is
Adrian himself. Yeah, I'm not betting against them. Let's stick with NFL Network and let's go to some draft grades. Our guy Daniel Jeremiah, who we visited with at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis a couple of months ago, and then MJD, former NFL running back for the Jaguars and the Raiders. Those guys are breaking down draft report cards for teams in various divisions. Recently, they did the NFC North, and after you go through the Bears, the Lions, and the Packers, they finally got to the Vikings and broke the Vikings down. Here's what it sounded like.
Kind of set us up for a transition to Minnesota, their division rival. They go offense in the first round. A lot of pre-draft discussion about who they would end up grabbing. It ends up being Laquon Treadwell out of Ole Miss. Certainly a receiver that is ready to play at the next level. Ready to help a passing game that ranked next to last in 2015.
I'm honored, man. The Vikings. Man, I'm just proud to be a part of the Vikings right now. You know, it's just a journey. It's part of the journey. And just got to stay strong and keep fighting.
All right, MJD, we get to watch this guy up close in person at the Combine, especially running the gauntlet. Silky smooth.
I tell you what, there's something, too, when you hear a receiver or catch the ball and you don't hear anything. It's like, that's what it was like. And then when you watch the way he plays, he's a big body. They need a big body in that cold to go up and get the ball. You're talking about a guy that has enough speed, as we see there, to run behind guys. He's the guy that's going to make everyone around him better. Teddy Bridgewater is going to have a huge year because of him.
All right, so Teddy Bridgewater, obviously excited to have a guy who can catch passes.
Oh, now we're talking.
Then in the sixth round, DJ, they go to another guy who can catch passes playing in Europe. Can he catch him on this side of the pond?
Look, this is going to be a fun project for the Vikings. Moritz Boehringer out of Germany. First international player to get drafted over here. And I'll tell you what, look, the competition over there, it's like a high school. But you see a guy that's 6'4". The time's legit, ran in the 4.4s. It's going to be a long-term project, but a fun one there for them to take on.
I'm rooting for him. I'm looking forward to seeing the jersey sales.
No question.
Let's look at the rest of the purple draft. MJD, who stands out on this?
Well, list? I like Mackenzie Alexander in the second round. Obviously, they have struggled with corner a little bit. You put him out there, he can play that type of system. And then, to be honest with you, I think Jerron Kearse. I think there's a lot of people don't like him, but he's going to be a physical safety. They like to play that cover three. They need a banger. Hopefully he comes down and he can do that.
Are people sleeping on this team and on this draft? I mean, what's your overall grade for them?
Well, I think it was solid. I give him a B. I think it was just it's all day passing. It's something Maurice would love to have had there at UCLA. A B, you can work with that. You can win with that. It's not elite. But
a B plus.
It makes it happen.
Are you kidding? Just because they didn't take a quarterback? There's not enough quarterbacks.
They don't need a quarterback. They already got a quarterback.
I mean, it's because they didn't take a quarterback. They didn't trade the whole draft to take a quarterback. They don't get an A.
All right, we get through all the teams in the NFC North. Your favorite overall selection?
Well, I'm going to go Daniel Braverman. Slot wide receiver going to the Chicago Bears. They got him in the seventh round. To me, it was tremendous value because you look at it, somebody, what they're going to have outside. Now, trust me on this. I'm doubling down. Kevin White's going to have a big year. He's healthy. Now you've got Alshon Jeffrey on the other side. All that size outside, now you got the quickness inside, he's going to eat people up.
I'm going to go Laquon Treadwell. I think a guy we talked to, we all said he was the number one wide receiver on the board. He was the best player. He runs slow. Jerry Rice ran a 5.2. Mm-hmm. You know, we saw what he was able to do. I think Laquon Treadwell goes out there, makes plays. I think we start to see Teddy Bridgewater play better. You see Stephon Diggs do better. I think you see Adrian Peterson. Overall, I think he makes that offense better, which makes that team better.
There's nothing better than when he makes himself laugh.
I was going to say, you're giggling.
It was a Jerry Rice 5.2. It just gets me going. Every time I say it, he's going to get slower. He's going to run a 6.3 next week.
How about our guy Daniel Jeremiah giving us the B, but MJD going right at your boy?
Yeah, yeah.
Love it.
It's good to have MJD on your side. If you remember him playing, he played like a bowling ball.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to be in front of him if he's upset.
No, he was a good guy to have on your fantasy team.
Like he was.
When he was with the Jaguars.
He won't help you much now.
No, don't draft him now.
Don't draft him now. But he might recommend drafting Laquan.
Yeah, he likes Laquan.
Big fan of Laquan.
It was his favorite pick in the NFC North.
Yeah,
we'll
take that. It was ours too.
Cool. Yeah, pretty cool. All right, now we're going to move on to Tim Rumpf. You don't know who Tim Rumpf is, and we didn't either until a little while ago when he came to Vikings Entertainment Network Studios, where Nate and I are literally standing right now. He was here interviewing a bunch of our players as they were putting together NFL Network's top 100 players of 2016. So Tim was here in the beginning stages of that project. We find it interesting, and actually right now, if you're paying attention, NFL Network is unveiling their series as we speak right now. And so we thought now would be a great time to throw this interview with Tim Rumpf at you. Take a listen. All right, we're going to bring in a special guest on this episode of the Wobcast, and you're not going to know who this guy is. Well, you are going to know who he is after we're done talking to him, but you're not going to know who this guy is, but you certainly know one of the things that he spends a lot of his time on. It's the top 100 players in the NFL feature that you see every offseason. His name is Tim Rumpf. He's an NFL Films feature producer, and right now he's a guest on the Wobcast.
Thanks,
hi, Tim.
Thanks for having me.
You bet, man. Thanks for joining us. This is probably not something you do regularly when you go to team facilities, but we're turning things around on you.
Yes, I'm usually behind the camera.
Right. Now you're on the other side of the microphone. Something tells me you're going to be able to do a pretty good job with it. But tell us a little bit what you're doing here. We know what you're working on now, the top 100 players of the 2015 season, right?
Yeah, so actually we're on a tour right now of we're going to each NFL franchise currently and getting their players to participate in the vote. And doing on-camera interviews, which you see in the features, to kind of really make sure every single team's voice is heard so they can have as many people on the list as possible, because I know that they care about it and the fans care about it as well.
Does your work end once you're done visiting all the facilities, or do you work on the production of it even after that?
No, yeah, this is just the beginning.
Okay.
This is grabbing the raw materials. Now what we have to go back is finding the plays that they're talking about on each player and really kind of calculating the list and figuring out who ends up where. I mean, who's 1 through 10 and who's 10 through 100 the rest of the way.
Is it hard to get the players to actually vote on it, or is that the easy part?
Well, that's why I've got people here with me that are helping wrangle some players. A lot of players are really into it. Some people are going about their business. Obviously, this is the middle of a week that they're preparing for a game, so they've got other things on their mind. But I think a lot of people are really receptive and open. A lot of people want to be on the list, too. We ask them, and they're excited, and really they get angry when they're not on the list or if they haven't been on the list before.
Well, you can't visit every team in a short amount of time. This is something that you guys have to do over probably several months, I would think, right?
Yeah, it is. It's several weeks. We actually have multiple crews. We don't go to every single place. Yeah.
But let's say you're in Houston and you have J.J. Watt talking about this play that's pretty cool, and the play happened against the Vikings, for instance. Now you have something to talk about with the Viking that you wouldn't have had known to talk about before, right? So you have to kind of keep track of what people are saying.
Exactly. We were talking to Captain Mullerlin earlier, and I think I asked him about maybe Julio Jones or something. It was a wide receiver. And I asked him, name one play that kind of stands out to you. And right away, he was like, oh, well, I've got the play that happened on me. And he was able to break it down right away. He was like, oh, he's coming across the middle, and he got me, and he kind of laughed about it, which is fortunate because you can laugh about it at the end of the day. But it's crazy what the players actually remember. You know, I'll ask them to tell me how to play, and they'll be able to break every single thing down about it because, well, obviously they're going over that film every single day.
Yeah. And I would have to imagine, I mean, your schedule is fairly set, right? Like, do you know where you're going for the next 2 weeks?
I don't personally know.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
We've been all over the place. It really changes day to day.
That's good, I would think, because like wherever you're going, I would think you hope that they had just won a game.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely to catch a team on a winning week. That's definitely a lot better.
How about coaches? Do you talk to coaches for this too?
Not for top 100. No, this list is 100% players.
That's cool.
What kind of makes it unique also is that it's the players that are voting on themselves.
And then how do you get from place to place? Do you guys have a tour bus or do you fly?
No, I wish it was like a Madden bus with a big party on the way.
That'd
from
be
city
awesome.
City. No, it's just regular flights.
Okay, all right. Yeah. And I know you can't tell us any of the voting or anything like that, but in terms of the interviews, who have been some of the Vikings you've talked to? You said Munnerlin, he had a cool story about Julio. You're in the middle of it, but who have you talked
Captain was great. He was one of my favorite interviews that I've done. Like I was saying, he was able to remember specific plays, and that's the best thing. You're worried when you sit somebody down in the chair and they're like, oh, well, the guy should be on the list because he's big, fast, and strong. That's everyone's big, fast,
boring,
and strong if they're in the NFL.
Yeah.
So the fact that he was able to remember specific plays, that was awesome. So we talked to him. We talked to Xavier Rhodes, and we talked to Stephon Diggs so far, and I think we're going to have a couple more in the afternoon.
You know, and I would imagine Aaron Rodgers is going to be very high up on your list, as he is every season, and whether he is or not, he's going to be somewhere on your list, and we play against him twice a year, so I'd imagine you get a lot of thoughts on him, too.
Exactly. I mean, that's the tough part is I get to ask the guys about their teammates, which everyone's obviously great on, but then obviously you have to talk about the guys that, unfortunately, had big games against you. I mean, you like Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson or you know, guys like that. Obviously, there's a lot of quarterbacks that tend to make the list because that's who a lot of people think of when they go to vote. And of course, Aaron Rodgers, I would have to guess he's going to be on there somewhere.
Probably. Tell us about the crew that you have. How many guys and gals travel? What is everyone doing? What are all the different tasks? Because it's not as simple as a lot of people might make it out.
Sure. The typical crew for the Top 100 Tour is there's a producer that will ask the questions. That's my role. I have someone with me here this weekend named Taylor that's wrangling, like you said, to get the players to fill out the ballots, and then we also have a cameraman and a sound man here as well.
Okay, yeah, so it's a big full team effort, huh?
Yep, absolutely.
All right, well, you're a busy man. We're going to let you go, but thanks for filling us in on some of the details. Everyone loves watching the Top 100. Now the people listening right now have a little more of the nuts and bolts that goes into it. So.
Thanks for having me. Hopefully there's a lot of Vikings on the list.
I hope so, too. All right, man, good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you very much.
Wednesday at 7 p.m. is the next airing of NFL Network's Top 100 Players of 2016. I believe they are a couple of episodes in, and there have been no Vikings yet.
Saving the high picks.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
The good news is, you know, we don't have any players at the bottom of the list. But the bad news is we want some players on the list somewhere. So let's see if we can get some Vikings in there. Feels to me like Adrian Peterson, Anthony Barr, and Harrison Smith. At least should be in the top 100. Agreed?
I'm not going to disagree with you.
Okay, at least those guys. So
I'm not an NFL player, though, and that's who makes this list. So
I wish you were.
I wish I was too.
For one of the teams in our division.
Although I will say Sundays are much easier for me probably than most NFL players.
No doubt about it. And Sundays are much easier for me than they are for you because you're on the field running around holding a heavy camera, oftentimes in cold weather, and I don't have to do that.
But not anymore.
Right.
Only cold weather game, at least this year, is Green Bay.
It should be the only cold weather game. If it's unseasonably cold in November in Washington, D.C., we could get a cold one there, but
we can deal with that,
though. Yeah, we can. Only one cold weather game, and that one will be at Lambeau on Christmas Eve, and I'm very much looking forward to that. I would love to spoil Christmas in Green Bay.
We spoiled Week 17 for them last year.
Yes, we did. We certainly did. We took the division from them, too, and we intend to hold on to it. Hopefully we can. Our thanks to Tim Rumpf for joining us on the Wobcast and explaining a little bit what goes into creating NFL Network's top 100 players. Okay, let's continue the conversation here. This is the part of the program where we bring in some help. Nate and I often need some help, and we do today because we're going to talk about some of the Vikings' rookie defensive players. Last week, we had Craig Peters into the studio to break down some of the offensive rookies the Vikings acquired in the draft and in undrafted free agency. This week, we're going to break down some of the defensive players. To do that, we have Lindsey Young and Eric Smith, both writers for Vikings.com, do a great job of producing the written content for us. So for those of you who like to consume the video content and the Wobcast, we encourage you to also go to the site and check out the written content because there you will find great work by Lindsey Young and Eric Smith. And now you will hear from them. Hey, guys.
Hey.
What's up, Wob?
Not much. We're breaking down defensive players here, and obviously we were all here for the draft and the press conferences and the conference calls, and we were here for rookie minicamp.
Yeah, long hours.
Yes, they were. And everyone likes to break down the draft and give grades right after the draft. We wised up, and we've waited a week until after rookie minicamp. And that's what we're doing.
And now we know everything.
Right, we think we do.
Yeah.
We certainly know more now than we knew 2 weeks ago when these players were drafted. So we're a few weeks removed from the draft and a couple of weeks removed from rookie minicamp, so let's talk about some of these defensive players. I'm going to start with you, Lindsey.
Sure.
And the second-round pick for the Vikings, Mackenzie Alexander, cornerback from Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I think personally it came as a little bit of a surprise to me that we went cornerback in the second round, mm-hmm. and I think it did for other people too, but especially, like you said, now that we've waited a week, I am really sold on the pick. Obviously, Zimmer and Spielman, I think they know what they're doing. Zimmer likes his players in the secondary, and I think the biggest thing with bringing in McKenzie is that you really can never have enough cornerbacks. And I know that right. Zimmer says that all the time, like you develop depth and things like that. I don't think that drafting McKenzie has really any weight on Trey Waynes and his role. So I think that definitely they'll both continue to develop. As far as McKenzie's role this year, I don't really know what to expect. I suppose that it depends what happens in the coming weeks in OTAs and training camp, but I know that the coaches like competition at positions and things like that. But it'll be interesting to see. I definitely do think that he has a future here, whether it be starting cornerback or in more of a nickel role or mm-hmm. or what have you. But, you know, and he has that interesting backstory, too, which yeah. I think is it's a cool story. And it aired on ESPN and things like that. So it's an interesting story, but also I think that it speaks to who he is on the field as well, just his work ethic and his kind of determination. Yep. He really has been working towards this for a really long time. So.
Well stated. I agree with all of that. He likes to go by Mac, not McKenzie, so that's something that's kind of cool about him. And the interesting thing about this is if all goes according to plan, Alexander actually probably wouldn't contribute that much, you know, because you're returning your top three corners from last year, Munnerlyn, Rhodes, right. and Newman, and then you have your first round pick from last year and Trey, right? So if right. all goes according to plan, he may not actually play that much, which is kind of weird to say about a second round draft pick. Usually those guys come in and contribute right away. But even if he doesn't contribute on defense, Trey Waynes showed us last year you can still be a major contributor on the team. He led us in special teams tackles. So,
and just having that depth if there is an injury or somebody to come in. I mean, Trey came in a few times last year and made a difference even in those little tiny windows that we got to see him. So
yep.
I think that's the biggest thing, too, is that fans shouldn't be concerned if he doesn't have a big role on defense
Agreed.
This year.
You mentioned special teams. One thing I noticed about Mac is, you know, he's on the shorter side. You know, he's 5'10", kind of right on the borderline of what Zimmer likes for his height.
Mm-hmm.
Mac actually told us in the media about a week or so ago, you know, he said, knock my size, but you're going to be impressed you know, and he's feisty, you know, he doesn't back down. I liked at rookie minicamp watching him and Treadwell go one-on-one.
Pretty cool.
That's probably my favorite part of camp. You know, they went at it a few times.
Yep.
It was just a great battle.
Yeah. And so we'll see what happens with McKenzie. Great addition. The Vikings had the big picture in mind with this selection. Lindsay, I agreed with you. It was a surprise maybe to see corner in the second round, but you know, Trey Waynes and McKenzie Alexander give you two nice young options to step into the place of Munnerlyn and Newman should they not be back next year. And they're going to be with us this season, it appears, but Munnerlyn is on the last year of his deal, and Newman is at the stage of his career where it's kind of a year-by-year thing. So not predicting those guys won't be back, but just saying it's a possibility because they're not under contract right now, and so now you have two nice options to fill in. Speaking of depth for now, Eric, linebacker Kentrell Brothers was the Vikings selection in the fifth round. What do you have on him?
I actually saw Brothers play this year.
You did?
Yeah. So before the Vikings, I was working in Omaha, and I drove down to Kansas City to watch Mizzou play BYU at Arrowhead Stadium.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of Mizzou or BYU. Don't really have a preference. But it's, when I watched that game, it seems like Brothers' name was called all the time.
Yeah.
You know, Brothers with the tackle, Brothers with the tackle. You know, he actually led the nation in tackles last year with 152. And, you know, I think he maybe wanted to get drafted a little earlier, like most picks probably do. But I think he'll provide great depth. Mel Kiper, the ESPN analyst, he actually said Brothers was his favorite late round value pick.
Okay.
In the NFC North.
That's pretty cool.
You know, so Brothers ran, I think, like a 4.8 in the 40-yard dash, and Kiper said, you know, he doesn't play that way. You know, he plays maybe like a 4.6. Mm-hmm. You know, he can get to the sideline quick. You know, he has that game speed, you know, where he can just get there and make the play. And Kiper also mentioned that, you know, with Rick Spielman kind of having a linebacker history, you know, and obviously his brother Chris was a linebacker, that they kind of know what to look for. And that's maybe a reason why they took a chance on Brothers.
Yeah, right. Makes some sense. I think Rick also likes production. Mm-hmm. And I think back to in, I believe it was, let's see, Jamarcus Sanford's rookie season was 2009, I believe. And, you know, no one had heard of Jamarcus Sanford. He was a safety from Ole Miss and a guy that the Vikings took in the seventh round. No one had heard of him. But when you read through his bio, he played 4 years at Ole Miss, and he was the leading tackler in the SEC during that four-year span. And the Vikings got him in the seventh round. And that's what I thought of when I saw Kentrell Brothers being the leading tackler in the country. You get that guy in the fifth round, pretty cool.
Well, and the Vikings, I mean, they have historically shown to be able to kind of find those diamonds in the rough in the later rounds. And obviously not always, but they've had some good luck with that the past few years.
The depth really good at linebacker right now for the Vikings. The three primary linebackers from last year all return, just as they do at corner. We talked about that earlier with Mac Alexander. Well, the same is the case with the linebackers. You sign two in free agency, Travis Lewis from Detroit, Emmanuel Lemur from Cincinnati. You draft Brothers. You have Audie Cole coming back from injury. Edmund Robinson in his second year. I know the team really likes him, so the depth is really good.
And I don't think you can have too many. You know, we talked about you can't have too many corners. I don't think you can have too many at any position.
Yeah,
because you just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, even if you're linebacker number six on the depth chart, all it takes is an injury or whatever, and you're up to four.
Right, and the linebacker population is one that is drawn from a lot of times on special teams as well,
because
of their size and athleticism combination, big time special teams players. So you wouldn't put it past the Vikings to maybe carry an extra one this year, maybe carry seven. All right, speaking of linebackers, here's one who converted from linebacker to DN. Lindsay, you have Stephen Weatherly, a draft pick for the Vikings out of Vanderbilt. So obviously he's a smart guy, but can he play?
Yeah, he's been kind of an interesting guy. I've done a couple things on him so far. And I think when you look at him, he's big, he's athletic, he's strong. He tied for third place in the bench press at the combine. So you see that right away. And I also noticed as well that his combine numbers, obviously you take combine numbers with a grain of salt, but they were extremely similar to Danielle Hunter's, except for the vertical jump. Danielle's was quite a bit higher. And I'm not going to stand here and say that they're the same player by any means, but I think when you kind of look at that athleticism and size and build, that there are some similarities there. I know that he said he definitely feels more natural at the on the defensive line versus playing linebacker, and I know that that's where the Vikings see him being, but also the fact that he's played linebacker gives him some versatility and ability to see things kind of from a different perspective. I know that Coach Andre Patterson likes him. He likes what he saw. And, you know, Zimmer just said yesterday that how great of a coach Andre Patterson is. And so I think if there's anybody that can really take a late round guy and develop him as somebody who could have a role on this team, it, you know, it's Coach Patterson.
Yeah, I think confidence is raised in that with the work that the Vikings did on Danielle Hunter this past year. Mm-hmm. And you wrote a piece before the draft about the process the Vikings went through, you know, with big time help from defensive line coach Andre Patterson, the process they went through to get Danielle Hunter last year. It wouldn't surprise me if next year before the draft you're doing a similar piece about this guy.
Right. And you know, you mentioned that he's a smart guy and everything, and I think some of the media have kind of gotten excited by some of those off field kind of nuggets about him. He plays so many instruments, and you know, he's a math guy and a robotics guy and stuff, which again can make an interesting story, but hopefully that also speaks to just his level of attentiveness in you know, to the playbook and things like that,
and his ability to learn,
right?
Which is important. You know, we just went through that Zimmer film session with the media that was an hour long, and all he did was go over a basic shell coverage in base defense. And it took, you know, an hour, and it was confusing to most people. So obviously it's important to be smart. Okay, Jayron Kearse, a seventh round pick for the Vikings, a safety out of Clemson. Eric, I know you did some research on size and safeties in a Mike Zimmer defense. So tell us a little bit about Jayron Kearse and you know, the Vikings, where they're at the safety position and how he fits in.
Right, right. You know, Jayron is another guy I think people expected to go earlier in the draft. Mm-hmm. I think he was kind of maybe labeled like a fourth or fifth round pick. But, you know, for whatever reason, he kind of fell. You mentioned the size. He's 6'4", and I noticed him immediately on the practice
field. Me too.
It's almost like he's a giraffe because he lines up to even someone who's 6'1". He towers over them, you know. And actually, I talked to Jayron yesterday in the locker room for maybe like 10 minutes about his height. He said that when he was a freshman in high school, he was 5'6".
Whoa.
And he had a growth spurt his freshman year. And by the time he left high school, he was 6'3". You know, he said, people didn't even recognize me. You know, he wasn't the same kid.
Wow.
So at 6'4", he's tied for the tallest safety in the league.
Is he really?
He is, yeah. There's a guy from the Giants, Taylor Cooper, I think. Mm-hmm. And the other guy is George Iloka from Cincinnati.
Zimmer tie.
Who Zimmer coached for 2 years.
Okay.
You know, so I kind of asked Jayron, how does being 6'4" help you? And he's like, you know, he thinks he moves well, so he can hang with smaller receivers, but he's also big enough to cover larger receivers too. Mm-hmm. You know, he said he gives the quarterback such a small window to throw into. It's pretty rare to have a 6'4 safety.
Yeah.
Like I said, he's tied for the tallest in the league. He kind of sees himself maybe as, he mentioned Cam Chancellor. Yeah. Cam is 6'3". You know, obviously he has a ways to go before he's Cam Chancellor. And Zimmer, I asked Zimmer yesterday, and he said that he obviously likes length. You know, I think Jayron's arms are over 34 inches long. You know, they're pretty long. You know, he's a seventh round pick. He's got a lot to learn, but he seems to have all the tools, you know, kind of right there.
I look at what the Vikings have done at safety very similarly to what they've done at offensive line. And, you know, offensive line was a position group a lot of people expected the Vikings to address this offseason, and the Vikings fulfilled and probably exceeded expectations. I mean, they signed two free agents who were starters last year. They used the draft to address the offensive line, and they're going to be getting guys back from injury along the offensive line. And the Vikings have done it very similarly at safety, where they sign a former starter in free agency in Michael Griffin. They return their own starter in Andrew Sendejo. They use the draft to get another one. So that'll be don't you think that's a position to watch here over the next few months?
I do, yeah. You know, obviously I think we all can agree that Harry is going to be in there. You know,
yeah.
He's you know, Pro Bowl top safety. You know, as for that other spot, I don't know, you know. I would maybe give the nod to Griffin just because he's a veteran,
yeah.
You know, and he...
That's fair, yeah.
They probably wouldn't have signed him if they didn't have, mm-hmm. you know, plan for him. But J-Ron said that, you know, that he feels like he has a chance. You know, I mean, they drafted him too.
Right.
You know, so that he said that, you know, they wouldn't have drafted me for no reason. J-Ron had lunch with Griff yesterday.
Okay.
And he said, you know, Griff has been a big help because, you know, Griff is also learning the system too. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a 9-year vet, but this is, he's only been in the system for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
You know, and J-Ron said that him and Griff kind of go back and forth about tendencies and just kind of learning the system. Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned that film session. I can't imagine what it's like for them.
Right. They're right in the middle of it. Yeah.
Right. We were only there for an hour. I was lost after 10 minutes.
Right. You and me both. Yeah. Yeah. So pretty cool position to watch. I know, you know, the first thing the Vikings did at safety was they re-signed Andrew Sendejo, and some people kind of freaked out about that because they thought like that was all the team was going to do. But now look what they've done. I mean, they've used every avenue possible, including re-signing Sendejo, who, by the way, started like 13 games, I believe, and we had the number 5 scoring defense. So, I mean, I know that Sendejo's not going to a bunch of Pro Bowls, but like if that's the bottom, that's not that
right.
low. You know, so the competition's going to be there, but there are a lot of good options. So, all right, that's it. That's the rookie defensive draft class. Some undrafted free agents that the Vikings signed include Marshall cornerback Keith Baxter, Minnesota defensive end Theron Cochran, Georgia linebacker Jake Gainis, Florida international defensive end Denzel Perrine, and then of course Mike Zimmer had to get his Illinois State guy in there, so we signed a corner named Trey Roberson from Illinois State. Mm-hmm. Anything to speak of there? I mean, we're not going to give these guys no shots. This is a team, after all, that benefits greatly from Adam Thielen and Marcus Sherrills, who were both undrafted guys. This is a team that has John Randall and Mick Tinglehoff in the Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. undrafted guys. So
yeah.
Undrafted does not mean undeserving. Do right. we have anything to say about any of these guys?
I know that, you know, we just got done talking about how much linebacker depth we have. So mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, where things will go with these undrafted guys. But just when I was watching practice at rookie minicamp, Gainis did stand out to me a couple times. He had a couple pass breakups. He just seemed to move really well and be really aware of the field
yeah.
and be really aggressive. So, you know, I got a very small glimpse of him. But he was someone where I was watching and said, who is that guy? You know, yeah. like, what do we know about him? So I felt like that was significant enough to draw my attention to kind of want to know more about him. And it's kind of an interesting story with Cochran and Baxter that they were high school teammates and
yeah.
and now, you know, here together. So that's interesting. Their high school coach was Bobby McCray Sr., which is interesting. Obviously, his son played in the NFL. So, you know, I feel like they've come from well-educated coach. They both, you know, have had some ups and downs during their college career, but it'll be interesting to see what happens. I know that Cochran playing for the Gophers has... He knows Isaac Frickde and Marcus Sherrills, obviously both Gophers players as well,
yeah.
and both have also been able to make the team as undrafted guys. So be interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah, and the Gophers actually putting some players in the league. You know, I know Atlanta's got one, Kansas City's got one recently, so the Gophers putting some players in the league. What were you going to say?
Oh, I think one note about Cochran is I think after he signed, he said, you know, I had calls from other teams. I think the Patriots were one of the teams that called him.
They were, yeah.
And he said that just because the Vikings called me first, he kind of felt loyal to that, you know, and that's why he ended up coming here.
Okay, before we let you go, Lindsay, you had a cool story on Alan Page recently. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so Alan Page held an elimination of bias seminar the other day downtown Friday morning. And so I went to that to cover it. And, you know, I kind of went into it not really knowing what to expect, just there to cover the event. But it was a really, really cool event. And something that this is nothing new to me, but something that impresses me about Alan Page is, you know, he did so much on the field for the Vikings, but he retired from football and then he, you know, was a judge on the Supreme Court, and he retired from that, and he continues to work to make a difference. Yeah. You can tell that he's extremely passionate about this elimination of bias. So what he's really working to do is, all the way since 1993, when he had a seat, there was a task report issued that showed racial bias within Minnesota's legal system. And so that's something that's really on his heart, that he's passionate about making changes. But the cool thing about Alan Page and about his program and even this seminar that I went to on Friday is just how like gentle he is about it. He really, it comes from the bottom of his heart that he wants to make changes in our society so that the society just runs better, that the people get along better, work together. You know, and it's cool that he's been able to use his platform as somebody who did so well in the NFL to go beyond that and make changes as well.
Awesome. Good stuff. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, guys. Tell everyone how they can find your work. Give them your Twitter handles.
All right. Mine is Eric_L_Smith.
All right.
And then mine is Lindsey, LindseyMN Sports.
All right. Check them out on Twitter. Catch them on Vikings.com. Great written content every day from you two, and great stuff here on the Wobcast. Thanks for joining.
Thanks, Bobby.
Okay, a couple of quick things here before we wrap it up for this edition of the Wobcast. We haven't done a mail segment in a while, so Nate and I are going to sift through your emails. We're going to pick out a few of them, and we'll answer them in next week's Wobcast. So please submit your email to me. You can also submit your questions to me on Twitter, at Wobby, W-O-B-B-Y. Send your questions via email or via Twitter, and we'll try and include some in the next edition of the Wobcast. Also, for those of you who are not listening right now via the Vikings app, and for those of you who have not yet downloaded the Vikings app, we'd like you to do that. Vikings app has been recently renovated and upgraded. We'll include a great in-stadium experience for those of you who are ticket holders. You will really love the Vikings app. But for those of you who are not ticket holders, the Vikings app is still really good for you. It's a robust way to get all of our content delivered straight to your mobile device. So we definitely encourage you to download the Vikings app. Lastly, coming up very soon is the annual Bud Grant Garage Sale, which is a very fun event. And this year it's a 3-day blowout at Bud Grant's house. You can go to a garage sale hosted by the most revered figure in Vikings history, former head coach Bud Grant. For more information on Bud Grant's garage sale, Nate and I highly recommend you follow him on Twitter. Yes, I just said you can follow Bud Grant on Twitter. At HP Bud Grant is a great follow on Twitter, Nate.
It's a hidden treasure. I'm so glad we found it.
It definitely is. You and I discussed really cool apps on our phone that we don't have that we should get, or that I don't have that I should get. But we've discovered that really cool follows on Twitter.
Well, let's start. If you don't have Twitter on your phone, start there. You should get Twitter on your phone.
Correct.
Then
follow Bud Grant.
Yeah. At HP Bud Grant.
And you will find things like Jerry Burns dressed up for Halloween. Standing next to a stormtrooper. Or someone from Star Wars, perhaps.
Well, that's what I meant.
Okay, yeah. So he's Jerry Burns is Luke Skywalker in this photo, right?
I don't know. Maybe he'll be at the garage sale. You can ask him about it.
I think that's who he's trying to be.
Okay.
And he says, "May the Force be with you," and there's something called a stormtrooper right next to him, which is a Star Wars character I've learned today.
This Twitter account, if it's really him running this Twitter account, it wouldn't surprise me. There's some funny stuff in here.
Yeah.
He's doing things like, he tweets at Pete Carroll asking about his shoes.
Pete Carroll was on Bud Grant's staff, so that makes some sense.
There you go. Okay. There you go.
With the Vikings.
So, hidden treasure at HP Bud Grant.
Right.
Whether or not you can come to the garage sale, definitely give it a follow. You'll get a good laugh or two.
The garage sale is May 18th to the 20th. May 18 to 20. Come to the garage sale. You can also celebrate Bud Grant's birthday, because we've discovered that's May 20th. And remember that May 20th, the garage sale is over at noon, obviously because Bud's going to go out and celebrate his birthday. So he needs to be done with the garage sale by noon.
Right.
So there you go. Some entertainment to close the Wobcast. All right, Nate, that's everything, right? We're done?
That is.
Okay.
A lot of stuff.
That was a lot of stuff. A big show. We thank you all for listening all the way until the end. And we hope that you're going to listen to the next edition of the Wobcast, because it will be another jam-packed show that will include some of your mail. All right, on behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, this is your host, Mike Wobshaw, signing off for now, but promising to talk to you next week. So, yeah, I started with